Well, good morning, everybody. Good to be with you again. You know the question that almost all children ask on a long car journey? Are we nearly there yet? Well, maybe you've been asking that on our journey through the story of Gideon. Gideon had been called by God to deal with the Midianite threat. Then before anything else, God had challenged him to get rid of all the spiritual rubbish that was getting in the way. Then confirmed was Gideon by God that he was the right man doing the right job. And last week, we realized that he carefully listened to God and sent most of his volunteers home. Are we nearly there? Well, today we've arrived. We got there at last. We see Gideon sending the Midianite army packing. I tell you why I like Gideon, because I see a bit of me in him. Now, some people you meet are brimming with confidence and self-assurance. They don't seem to have any doubts. They don't waver. There's no cracks in their armor. They're cool, fearless, daring. They ooze courage and always know that they're right. But that's not Gideon, and it's not me either. I like him because of his frailty, because of his weakness, because he was a hero who lacked confidence. A hero who needed reassurance and encouragement, a real human being with feet of clay. It's not just Gideon I love, I also love God. I love the way that God encourages him, nudges him along just one step at a time, just the right thing at the right moment. So our part of the story this week opens with Gideon having another wobble. He was afraid. God looked into his heart and saw that. God sees us when we are overcome with fear and anxiety, as can happen. So God sends Gideon down to have a bit of a recce on the enemy. God sends him with a trusty partner. It's always good to have somebody with you rather than going alone. It's night, and fear is often at its worst and strongest at night. But then Gideon does stuff at night. We've seen that already. So he creeps into the camps of the Midianites and their associates unseen. And the first impression was that there were so many of them. They were like a plague of locusts. So many camels, he couldn't even begin to count them. Now he's so close, he can hear their conversation. Would you believe it? One of the guards is telling another about a strange dream that he's had. Now, weird things happen in dreams. I have lots of strange dreams. This week I dreamt that I was at a home group at the home of Michael and Carol Quick. And in the middle of their house, or their room, was a large carpet. And we were all encouraged to cut bits off the carpet and talk about it. Now you can psychoanalyze me over lunch if you like. Well, in this dream, a round loaf of barley bread comes smashing into the Midianite camp with such force that it destroys everything. And the guard listening to that dream had no hesitation in saying what it was about. A round loaf of barley bread was a symbol of the Israelite people who subsisted on barley bread. And the loaf crashing into the tent and destroying it was a prediction of the defeat of the armies of Midian. I wonder whether the troops were beginning to fear and panic already. Now that was music to Gideon's ears. God couldn't have encouraged him in any better way, and suddenly he's emboldened, he's sure. A new God-given confidence begins to surge up in him. He's certain, he's ready. He's decisive, he's razor sharp. That's why I've called this the confidence of Gideon, a God-given confidence replacing that human frailty and weakness. Yes, now we've arrived. The journey is over. So Gideon divides his 300-strong elite force into three groups, and each person had to carry three things: a trumpet. And by the way, think ram's horn, not a brass instrument in an orchestra. A trumpet, a torch, and a pitcher to put over the torch to conceal its flame. And then at a given signal, there's a loud blast of the trumpets. The pitchers were shattered and the noise echoed round the valley. The flaming torches all appeared, the flame of one seeming to blend into the flame of another, resulting in a ring of fire around the Midianite camp. Now, the army there were asleep. They weren't on high alert. They didn't think they got anything to be afraid of. They were sleeping like a log, flat out, deep sleep. And suddenly the noise, the pitchers being smashed on the rocks, the ring of fire, the trumpets blasting at full pelt, and then the shouting, a sword, Gideon, the Lord. Oh, it's horrible being woken up like that. Woken up with a start, and they panicked, and the panic spread. There was confusion, there was uproar. The camels were spooked. I wonder if they stampeded. The Midianites didn't know who was who. They lashed out with their swords in the darkness, only to find they were fighting each other. And so they did the only thing they could do. They left the camp, the noise, the chaos, the fire. They fled, they ran away, they escaped. And Gideon had defeated them without even a battle. Now, of course, he had to be sure that they wouldn't come to their senses, regroup, and return when morning came. But he'd already planned phase two of the offensive. And this was the time when he needed all those volunteers who'd been stood down earlier as he selected his elite 300 band of people. We didn't do that in the reading, Gideon's phase two of the assault. If we did so, we would discover earlier that all those other volunteers now play a vital role. And even the Ephraimites who weren't called on earlier are called to play their part. A good job that they hadn't taken offense, that they weren't needed. And now they were ready to do what was asked of them. And together, they chased the Midianites out of Israelite territory. Now, there were many casualties along the way. The Midianite army was scattered. Some got home. Leaders were captured. The Midianites were utterly humiliated. And that was the end of their annual incursion into Israel territory. That was the end of their raids, their plunder, their abuse of the Israelite women, their destroying crops. Gideon had defeated the army of Midian. So the key question is this: what am I going to take from this story? I'd like you to take two things. First of all, I want you to take hold of the confidence that Gideon was given. It's very important. Gideon is shown here not as some idealized hero, but a man with weaknesses and frailties, warts and all. And we see him at the beginning, hesitant and unsure, because he's a real person. He's not an angel. He's not a superhero. He's no James Bond. And many of us know what it is to feel uncertain, unsure. Even if we think we know it's the right thing to do, hesitations still come. Am I the right person? Is this the right time? Is this really what God wants? And God meets our hesitation with encouragement. God's encouragement is specific to the circumstances and situations that we're in. It fits, it matches like a jigsaw. So Gideon hears the soldier's dream and the interpretation, and he knows the time is right. He spent some time thinking about what he was going to do, and he wasn't going to be one of those people who was always thinking about it, making plans and never did anything. And so with God-given confidence, he leads from the front and he calls out, "You do what I say." And God uses Gideon to fulfill that defeat of the Midianite army. Now, I know there are some people tuning into this service from places other than Histon and the surrounding villages. So please bear with me if I say something to Histon Baptist Church at this time. Because I think one of the big challenges facing us is leadership. Members of our church were told this week that many of those, or some of those who've served well and energetically for many years, are coming to the time when it's right for them to stand down. And our church needs new leadership for a new chapter, a chapter that's going to be with us sooner than we realize. Now, there are people amongst us with gifts of leadership, people with lots to give who are hesitant and unsure. Maybe they felt a prompting from God. Maybe they're still asking, is it now? Is it me? Am I right? And they need encouragement to act. And maybe God is wanting to give you that nudge, that encouragement. And maybe God wants to use other people in that process of encouragement. So the question I want you to ask is not only, am I being called to serve? But who might God be calling to serve in this community, in this fellowship? And whoever we are, we can all ask that question. Who might God be calling? And if we get an inkling of an answer, don't let it stay in our heads. Do something about it. Act on it. Drop the person a line, an email, a text or something. Say, does somebody, have you thought about being involved in church leadership? I really would like you to pray about this. I believe God could use you in this. In my experience, a lot of people are in Christian leadership, not because they volunteered, but because somebody else said to them, I believe you've got a lot to give. I believe God wants to use you in this way. I think you're the right person for this at this time. So this is a word for everyone. Take on that role of encouraging others into leadership. They may not get there unless you encourage them, unless you let God use you to encourage them. I know God's the encourager, but 99% of the time, he encourages through people like you and me. And this story says that after God-given encouragement, there comes confidence, assurance. But you may not have the confidence unless you first have the encouragement. So don't let's bemoan the fact that people don't have confidence to act, but rather address the need that we need to be encouraging people to act. Finding that next generation of leaders is not an individualistic thing that needs people to volunteer. It's a community activity where we all take our part in seeing the potential that people have and encouraging them to use it in that way. And then the second thing to say about confidence. When I was preparing this message this week, my Bible readings took me to Ephesians 6, where Paul was talking about being in a spiritual battle, fighting an invisible enemy we can't see, whether it's human forces and structures that are evil or the devil himself. Our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with powers of this dark world and the spiritual forces of evil. Now, for very understandable reasons in church today, we've moved away from military talk about battles and being soldiers for Christ. Our hymns used to be full of it. Fight the good fight. Stand up for Jesus as soldiers of the cross. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. We talk much more today about being in God's presence, sitting at his feet, feeling his warmth, his closeness, his love. And I just wonder whether sometimes we get just a bit too cozy, embracing a version of Christianity that's all about me, feeling good, cozy, warm, blessed, gifted, my needs being met now and forever. And we've forgotten the call to fight a battle. It's not a physical army as it was for Gideon, but there are huge enemies out there that if we're not careful, we ignore. Maybe it's the tragedy of children in the UK not having enough food to eat, having to rely on school meals and food banks that need our support. Maybe it's the hundreds of people who are homeless, or the lack of clean water and toilets for so many people in the world. The unjust treatment of people because of the pigment in their skin, or the challenge of climate change, man-made climate change that wreaks havoc in so many places. We can't fight every battle, but we ought to be fighting some battles, finding confidence from God to stand up to these enemies. And perhaps we should be more focused on fighting our battles than meeting our own needs. More aware of the enemy that we need to stand against, and more ready to find and embrace God's confidence, as Gideon did when he defeated the Midianite army. Oh, and in case you think that that's the end of Gideon, there's actually a couple of PSs that will come next month. Let's pray together. Our God and Father, we thank you that you gave Gideon that confidence to discover your way and to fulfill your purposes and to do what you are calling him to do. And we ask, Father God, that whatever it is that we are being encouraged into, that you would take away our hesitancy and help us to act with confidence and to fight the battles you want us to fight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.